This episode brought to you by
Audible.
Audibletrial.com/horror version for 30 days free and a book to get you started. For that book recommendation, Mikey.
Welcome to Mikey's Book Club.
Let's do it.
Today's book recommendation is Run by Blake Crouch.
It's a book called Run by someone whose name is Crouch.
I think it's Crouch. Crouch.
So guys, check out Run by Robert Crouch. Crouch, whatever
Blake,
his name is.
Blake. Blake.
Well, Robert Blake.
Jen
he
will
killed
correct
his wife. It's
it
fun.
In the link thread.
You guys know the drill. Whatever. Yeah. Add over. This episode also brought to you by Nick B.
It looks like Nick B's a fan of open face sandwiches.
What is an open face sandwich?
You
don't know what an open face sandwich is, Todd?
Normally when you ask a question, it's because you're seeking advice or information. So no.
Well, let me give you some advice. You should grow up and learn what an open face sandwich is.
Yeah, what is it?
It's where the two sides of the sandwich are open on a plate.
But then But then do you close it to eat it?
No, you eat it open face.
So it's just like sandwich toast?
It's like an open sandwich that's not closed.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick B, thanks for interacting with us.
You sound like the kid who doesn't have friends, but someone gets on the swing set next to him. This episode also brought to you by John.
Hey, John.
Let me tell you about the truth about John.
Let me tell you truth about John.
Man, just say do that again.
You don't have to publicly shame me.
I did.
Let me tell you the truth about John. Once a week, I reach out to John on the Facebook.
Yeah.
I ask, John, what are some shitty things that you did this week?
John, how can I publicly shame you this week?
And then John said, I drive around without a driver's license.
What?
Yeah.
So he has a license, but he doesn't drive?
No. He doesn't have a license. And he violates the rules of the road.
So he is not licensed to drive, but he does, in fact, drive.
Yes.
That sounds wildly dangerous.
I hope no
Australian dangerous.
Officials are listening.
I don't even think there is such a thing.
What you just said was ridiculous.
It was like a koala directing traffic.
Kangaroo hopping around with a badge.
That's the meter maid.
Oh, my bad.
Kangaroo.
That's where they keep their little book in their pouch.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm putting the brakes on this conversation.
Nailed it. Well, this episode also brought to you by
Rebecca.
All
right,
and Rebecca did reach out to us on Facebook and say
she has consented to this.
She has consented to Mikey pickup lines for her shout out. So
this makes me feel like it's a little dirty because,
Mikey.
Yeah,
it is a little dirty.
She's paid money for this.
Uh-huh.
Most girls reject me for free.
That's not a pickup line.
Oh,
yeah.
Do better.
Is that your pickup line?
Do you want the whole thing? You want me to go full on?
Mikey,
sleaze?
Always give them the whole thing.
Jen, do you want to pretend to be a girl?
No. And fuck you.
Do I do it at Rebecca?
I think you should do it at Todd.
Talk to me, Mikey.
It is weird when I make eye contact with Jen during a pickup line.
Yeah.
Mikey, look at me. Hey. Yeah.
Are you Google? Because you're everything I'm searching for.
Oh, my God. Rebecca, please don't fall for this
here's
sort
what
of
you
stuff.
Say. Yeah. Seems like you have a connectivity issue.
It's too bad because I'm feeling lucky.
I'm DNSing that host. Guys, Rebecca actually started her own Etsy store.
She did.
It's an Etsy store called Straight On Tell Disney, and they do Disney stuff.
Or
she does Disney stuff. It's awesome. So check it out. And Rebecca, I'm so sorry for what just happened.
I am too. We may have to rethink this.
Guys. Player 4 has also entered the game.
Oh,
what? Who is this?
His name is Daniel. I'm so excited.
Daniel.
Yay.
Do I go positive or negative with Daniel?
Well,
we don't know yet.
Let's find out. So, Daniel, reach out and let us know what you want your Mikey fun facts to be.
Yeah.
As far as whether you want it to be a negative fun fact, positive fun fact, or if you want Mikey to hit on you, that is also an option. He could hit on both you and Rebecca. Jen is making a face.
Yeah, I am making a face. Hey, also, Daniel, let us know if you have anything you do that you want us to shout out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll burn it down levels. If you want us to shout something out or support something, if you have an Etsy store or remember when we shouted out Preacher 6 a bunch, let us know because that's point of the shout outs.
Right. Daniel, thank you so much for joining the awesome Burn It Down level. Guys, if you want it, your very own weekly shout outs, join the Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
It is growing every day. And guys, thank you so much for that.
Much.
That's amazing.
Oh, it makes us so happy. I still can't believe anybody just listens.
Yeah. So honestly, if you're just listening to this right now, thank you.
Yes.
What the fuck?
We bring the theme music in
next. That's what we do
next.
Hold on. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been doing this 70 episodes and we have no idea what we're doing yet.
Well, for a while we weren't bringing theme music in. It was just appearing.
Oh, that's right.
But now it has to be invited in.
Daniel, why don't you bring in the theme
Daniel?
Music?
In honor of Daniel.
In honor of Daniel.
We'll bring in the theme music.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Daniel theme.
Daniel.
welcome to the Horror Virgin, everybody. I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm your Horror Virgin, Todd, which means I don't like scary movies, but you guys make me watch them and make fun of me for being scared. And this week, you guys made me watch the 2003 classic zombie horror movie, 28 Days Later. No, it's 2003. I looked it up.
Correction.
I'm going to throw down the reverse Uno card. It's 2003. I looked it up. So
this
no.
just in. Beep, 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 beep. Wikipedia says it's 2002.
Wait, did I win? Did I win?
The release date is June 27th, 2003.
This says 2002 because it came out in England in 2002.
So what probably happened is it came out in England in 2002 and then came out in America in 2003. So I guess choose a side.
No!
Whose side are you on, Mikey? So you guys have seen this before.
Yes, I saw this. Yeah,
I've seen this a few times.
You see it in the theaters?
Yeah.
You seen
I didn't see it in the theaters. Fun fact, though. So my parents really liked Outbreak, and they went to see this in the theaters. And my mom hates scary movies so much. She was like, what was this? Like, it destroyed her.
So you guys saw it around the time it came out, whether that was 2002 if you were in the UK or 2003 if you were in the US.
Right.
Did you guys like it then?
Yes, I really liked it then.
Do you think, well, Jen, did you like it
then? I did not. I don't remember liking it a whole lot. Okay, here's the funny thing.
I know one scene you liked a lot in particular.
Well, what I remember liking is Cillian Murphy.
Right. And does that hold up well?
Oh, yeah.
That holds scene up. Holds up real well.
There are lots of scenes that hold up.
Listen, I get it.
But the thing like about zombie movies, I kind of think of them as like a subgenre that I don't really like. And it's because I don't really like the zombies. And so I never really want to watch zombie movies. But then when I watch them, I love them because I think what zombie movies really are about are the living people.
Yeah.
The zombies are just like the catalyst for all that. And I really like that. But I never like seek out zombie movies to see. So I didn't see this in theaters. I kind of avoided it. And then I saw it a couple of years ago and I was like, holy shit, this movie is amazing. Why have I not been watching it for years?
Well, it was my first time seeing it, and I think it was amazing. I think it was a great movie. Yeah,
I think so too.
I probably, just like all the movies that we watch and I end up liking, I probably wouldn't watch it again, and definitely not on my own.
Because it scared you?
Yes, but if it came on at a party or my buddies wanted to watch it, I would just turn away at some scenes and I'd watch it with them.
So if I remember correctly, this is like the first movie that kind of restarted the zombie trend.
It is.
Is it? Okay.
It reinvigorated the zombiness.
Walking Dead rips this movie off. The first issue of the comic book of Walking Dead comes out like 2 years later or a year or two later, and it's him waking up from the coma. It steals it just from this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into this whole big thing about The Walking Dead this whole episode, but can I just say the first season of The Walking Dead's great?
Yeah,
everything
agreed.
After that is so bad.
I stopped
it
watching
so
after the first season.
Bad.
And I think this is the first movie with really fast zombies.
It's not the first movie, and I've got fun facts about that, but it was one of the first really well-known
It's the first one that I've seen with it, and that is so much scarier to me than The Walking Dead sort of lumbering, not really scary at all zombies.
Yeah, I agree.
This is much more scary, like zombie horror, than like The Walking Dead is.
Well, and people are going to get, well, actually us, because technically these are not zombies, although I think they
rabies.
They're infected zombies.
Okay.
And I guess now, after this movie, there's now two different classifications.
Are they rabies or rage bees?
There's rage bees.
Nailed it! So let's get into this fucking movie.
All right.
So we start out on like really grainy sort of news footage on what, when we zoom out, is a bunch of TVs, right? Yeah.
It's like footage of riots and murders.
Yeah.
And,
it's like the robot chicken, but a monkey and like their robot chicken and making him watch it. So anyway, it zooms away from those TVs. We see a monkey who's like strapped down to a table doing his best Jesus Christ pose, but watching these like nine TVs that are showing like violence.
I
really thought it was funny that the way that this virus starts is like a PETA organization breaks into a lab to like let them go, and they are the first ones that become rage zombies.
Right, because they see a doctor and the doctor says these chimps are infected with rage. Now, let me say, it's fucked up that the doctors are doing these experiments on these chimps.
Yeah, and you're right, Jen. It is really effed up that they're like...
Oh, yeah, because we see like a monkey that's been like dissected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and dead. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're like, I don't know, maybe eight or nine monkeys in cages, and the doctor comes in and seeing them trying to free him, he's like, whoa, please don't do that.
Right.
Because to understand the disease, we had to infect them, and all of them are highly contagious. And then they're like, whatever, man, I've got bolt cutters, so I can do what
this
I want.
This movie should end it here full. Like, if a doctor came out and was like, oh, these chimps are infected with like diseases we're trying to like learn how to treat.
Right. Called rage.
I mean, I wouldn't.
I laughed at that point.
That part probably would have made them.
Because
the
he doesn't say
go.
They're infected with a disease called rage that causes them to tear you apart within seconds. Yeah. He says they're infected with rage, which just sounds like he's saying they're mad because
they're
putting them in cages.
No, he should have said big sciencey words like he's infected with infestitis outrageous or whatever.
Outrageous? I like it. I like it. But yeah, he doesn't say that. He just says they're infected with rage.
I think that's what I have.
That's an Arachian. By the way, I'm going to buy bolt cutters right now because if anything goes down, you need bolt cutters.
And they can be a weapon because you can swing
them. Everyone buy bolt cutters. The end is nigh.
Yeah. So the woman opens the cage and immediately gets attacked by this.
Yes. And then she starts to turn and the guy who's there trying to help her gets thrown up on.
Like, in fairness, scared gorillas and stuff probably will attack you if you open their cages anyway.
Yeah,
that's true.
They had no plan for if, everything went right, they had no plan for how to deal with what they were about to do.
They thought the monkeys were just going to be cute, like wearing diapers, and they would just hold them like babies and take them to
like
the
rainforest. Like Ross's monkey and friends?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Maybe. So she kills everybody.
Yeah, she kills everybody. Like, they all
well,
affect each other.
They all turn really quick, and then they die, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Part of the whole thing is that they throw up blood a lot.
Right, because it's inspired by Ebola, and so causing you to bleed out of your orifices, but also internally.
Well, that's why their eyes were red, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they're puking up the blood that they're bleeding inside their bodies.
Yeah. Then that spreads the virus, right?
Exactly. Yeah,
because as viruses go, bloodborne viruses are actually the easiest to not get because it's you've got to get it in your eyes, your mouth, or an open cut or whatever. But this like projectile vomiting blood is a great way to spread the disease.
Yep.
And real fucking gross. I did not like that. And then it cuts to
28 days later.
Yeah, the title of the movie.
Which is also a time jump.
And we get to see what I will refer to as Jen's favorite scene.
I'm not going to say it's my favorite
scene
because there's another scene that I like even more than this. But yeah, we do see.
You're more of a butt girl?
It's the romantic scene at the end. I don't need to see nudity. I just think he's dreaming.
I don't understand.
Did you guys know that porn exists?
What?
You can just
I gotta
look
go,
at
guys.
Porn. This whole time?
I had no idea. I thought it was Pornhub.
Sorry, friends. You're on hold.
I thought it was just some kind of furniture thing.
Yeah, I've been going to Pornhub and it's just a bunch of Norwegian people putting together IKEA furniture slowly.
You got to get that J out.
I don't see what the hype's about. There's nothing sexier than a well-decorated home.
All right, so we wake up and kill it. First, we just see Cillian Murphy's dreamy eye, and he's in
he
bed.
He does have pretty blue eyes. Oh.
I mean, honestly, I'll say this. He's a handsome dude. I love him in Peaky Blinders. And this is also the scene where we find out, as Mikey said, that he is a grower, not a shower.
And that the people
there's nothing
that take-
wrong with that.
No, listen, I would like to be one of those.
We also find out that the people in this hospital are, I don't know what they're doing to these patients because he's just laying in this bed naked.
Well, there's no one in the hospital because it's the apocalypse.
Yeah, but he was in a coma. He didn't naked himself.
Let's talk about how in shape he is for in a coma.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about it.
He looks sort of nutrient depleted.
Yeah,
and
he
like,
looks like almost emaciated.
But you can like see his abs, though. Like like he was doing crunches in his sleep over here.
He was doing crunches before his sleep.
He was a bike messenger. It makes sense that he would be in shape. And then he was also, I don't know how long he was in the coma before the infection started, but it's been at least 28 days is all I'm saying, right? So he hasn't really received much sustenance in 28 days. He would have lost a lot of weight, be very weak.
Stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, he probably would have just survived on like an IV drip or whatever they had there.
Yeah.
So he wasn't eating food, so he would have lost a lot of body fat. So you would see things like his...
I will suspend my disbelief for the
movie. Right, because it doesn't matter. I mean, you could
Jen got
it.
What she wanted out of this scene.
Full frontal male nudity.
My goodness. I mean, I do like, I've seen enough female nudity in movies. It's nice when it's a guy every once in a while, but I don't particularly care so much about the nudity. I think it's a little weird here too, because you don't really need it. Anyway, so he pulls all the shit out of his arm and it's gross. And he gets some scrubs, which are so comfy. And he's walking around the hospital.
Okay, I have to know how they did these scenes. Anyway, so you're right, Jen. He's walking out of the hospital. This is the first time, but not the last time, we get a huge plug for Pepsi. And then this movie brought to you by Pepsi Cola. And he gets out of the hospital. He's checking the phones and shit. Mm-hmm. Nothing really happens, though. He gets out of the hospital. And then there are so many scenes of him walking around downtown London where there's nobody there. It's trashed. There's money just flying around.
There's a double-decker bus on its side.
Yeah, tell us how they did it. It's insane. I have to know how they did this.
Okay, so what they did was they closed all of those streets down, and they did it. They would do like 45 minutes very early before dawn on Sunday morning. And they would just shoot for like 45 minutes and then they'd have to open it back up. So then they would go back. Like the double decker scene they did in 20 minutes. They just put the bus over. And because it's really just him wandering around.
It is, yeah.
And so they've got to just spread the stuff everywhere. But yeah, they would do it really early on Sunday mornings and they shut all that stuff down. And he's really wandering around those
places. All these shots, like Todd was saying, London is deserted. It looks really cool because they're wide shots.
Yeah.
And like you're like, wow, like the world is over.
Yeah. And that really sells the premise of the movie for me. There is nothing going on there, and that's amazing.
And partly because you've just been there, right?
Well, you know what, Jen, I have. But I mean, there were like thousands of people.
Right.
If you're like by the London Eye, which is that big Ferris wheel, there's thousands of people around you, and he's just walking over that bridge, walking sort of towards it. And there should be thousands of people there.
Right.
It's insane.
They were doing this early Sunday morning. So, of course, there were some blokes getting back from the pubs. And they anticipated that they would be very angry because if they were trying to drive down this road, they would have to tell them to stop or wait for like 45 minutes. And so they got very attractive women to tell them to stop and wait, hoping that they wouldn't be as mad.
That
and one
is
of
a
them
good
was
move.
Danny Boyle's daughter. Not sure how I feel about that, but it worked. That's how they got the shots.
Awesome. Thanks for that fun fact, because I had no idea how they did that. It's too early to do like CGI that. It's
well, and
so
it would
good.
Be too massive to do.
Yeah.
So he's wandering around, he's picking money off the street, and he sees
like money's a thing. Like
right, exactly.
Todd makes a good point here. Well, we talked about what we would do if we were whoever in the situation. Todd's like, Jen was like, I'd find a newspaper. And he does.
Yeah,
he glances the headline, which is like, trying to evacuate England, and then he just throws it over his head.
Yeah, right. Whatever.
$40.
I mean, he did just wake up from a coma.
I'd want to go home and get clothes, get my car. And then get the fuck out of here, right?
So he also sees a wall full of missing posters. Yeah. Did you guys catch that?
It's like a monument, sort of.
Yeah. Well, so they had filmed it before 9/11, and he was saying like he wouldn't have been able to do that after 9/11 because if he had filmed it after 9/11, he wouldn't have put that part in.
Kept
because it,
in. It
did remind people a lot of the posters that they put up after 9/11.
Yeah.
I think I would have kept it in the movie, but I don't know. 2002, real close.
It's just real, And I think it's not that it's insensitive. It was just real close after it happened. Yeah.
Fun fact, the band Jimmy World had an album that came out right before September 11th called Bleed American that they immediately recalled from all stores and then put it back out as just Jimmy World.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I remember that album.
They had no idea. It's their best album.
That is their best album.
Yeah.
But it was originally called Bleed American.
Mm. All right. So this is the part where they go to the church. I don't know if this is the first thing I would do, but he maybe just walks past it and thinks, hey, maybe there's someone in here who can help me. So he goes in and he sees the end is extremely fucking nigh painted on the wall.
I love that. Although... Yeah. It says, repent, the end is extremely fucking nigh, and you're going to then have to repent for writing fucking on a church wall.
I don't know who taught you sinning, but I don't think writing fucking on a, it's not like a sin. It's like a light sin. If I walked to a church and creepy shit was written on the walls, I'd be like, on to the next one.
Yeah, I would definitely leave and burn it down, which he should have done, because he walks to like above like the pews that are down below, and he goes, hello?
Well, there's dead bodies on the pews.
They're not dead.
Most of them are dead. Yes.
Yeah. Some of them are not. And when he says hello and the first one looks up at him, and I was like, oh, God, what is happening?
They don't start running after him yet.
No, he finds the priest and the priest is clearly infected.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And starts like jerky walking. And this is the first time we really see an infected like moving.
Up close.
You know? Yeah. Like bloodshot eyes. He looks like very zombie-y.
And very jerky movements, like you said.
Yeah. That's a good way to say it. Not like zombies we've seen because he's moving like normal. Speed. He's not like shambling, dragging his body parts behind
There's no
him.
Moaning.
Ugh, and so I hate that kind of zombie. It's so dumb.
So the priest starts walking toward him, and then he realizes this priest is not going to help him. He's about to attack him, so he smacks him with a bag full of Pepsis.
It was a bag full of Pepsis for sure.
Mm-hmm. That would hurt.
It would hurt. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Right,
and I was like,
yeah,
no,
sorry,
you
sorry,
should
father.
Have done that.
But he doesn't know.
He doesn't know yet.
He just thinks he like hit a priest with a bunch of Pepsis.
Right.
And he's like, the priest is laying on the ground like mumbling or like crying. He's like, I'm so sorry.
And so now he starts to see the rest of the infected start to chase after him.
Yeah.
And he's running through the streets and they're chasing. And we see for the first time that they're running at the normal speed of humans running, you know.
Which yeah, they're just booking it after him. Yeah.
2002, this was a big deal.
It was a big deal because we hadn't really seen fast zombies before. This is not the very first time that they have appeared in a film, but this is really one of the first big movies to have fast zombies.
This is probably still the biggest movie with fast zombies.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Well, I think this is one of the biggest zombie movies still.
Yeah,
because it's really good. Also, Cillian Murphy. So anyways, he's running through the streets and the zombies are chasing him. And he starts seeing some people that may or may not be zombies wearing like makeshift riot gear, throwing like Molotov cocktails at him as he's throwing things, and things are starting to explode. The zombies around him catch on fire. I mean,
this is where we meet Selena, right?
Selena and Mark, but we don't realize who they are
yet. They're just guys.
Yeah, they just look Mad Max style, post-apocalyptic.
Absolutely. And they have Molotov cocktails as their only weapon. So like they have makeshift weapons. One has a machete, right?
He just realizes that they're not zombies trying to kill him, so he follows them and they end up in a convenience store.
Yes. And this is when Jim comes to the realization of what's happening. I love that when Selena was like, yeah, everyone you know and love is dead.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's starting to say what happened. Mark tells some giraffe joke. And we find out about what's gone on with Jim, too. He was a bike messenger and he got hit by a car and he was in a coma in the hospital for 28 days.
Or more. We don't know. Yeah.
Although, if there were riots in the street, that would make sense that maybe he got hit by a car in that, maybe at the beginning.
Yeah, that could be
like,
very,
he's only in a coma for like a week or two.
Right. Well, I mean, it would have to be at least 28 days. So Serena's also telling us a little bit about what had happened, and it started as riots, but it was different, and there was something in the blood that's infecting. And so we've seen the scientists talk about this at the beginning, so we kind of understand what's going on a little bit.
Yada, 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 infection all over bloody England.
And your parents are dead.
Yeah. Everyone you love is dead. Everyone I love is dead. Everyone Mark loves is dead. Mark's about to be dead. And listen, it's like a whole thing. And Mark's like, what?
Right. Jim's talking about wanting to go find his parents. And so he's trying to leave. And Mark's like,
yeah, he's
no,
like,
no.
I could walk it. And he's like shaking the door. He's like, I could walk it. It's so close.
It's only because he's a failure to launch. Because he's obviously an older gentleman living with his parents. He's a bike messenger.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably don't make too much money being a bike messenger.
And he's like 24, 25. Like, he's still pretty young.
Yeah.
Old enough to be out of the house.
I don't care if he lives with his parents or not.
You saw that dick.
That's not what I was going to say, but it was in the same
vein. His blue eyes are up here, Jen.
Mm, yes, they are. They are so blue. Oh, love
pretty sure they're brown. Oh, and this is where they give him the rules.
Yes.
Never travel anywhere at night unless you have to. And then don't make out with the infected. What's the other rule?
Nope.
I don't think he had to say nope. I'm pretty sure that was a joke. Don't make out with the infected. Actually, Todd, don't make out with the infected is not one of the rules.
Right.
It's don't go anywhere alone.
It's implied.
Right? Because of the implication.
Right, exactly. All right, but yes.
I go everywhere alone.
Mikey, you'd be dead in the first wave.
I'd like come out of my apartment on like Monday and be like, what happened?
It'd be very Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, that's true.
I love that movie. All right. Yeah.
All right, so, but he's talking about wanting to go see his parents. And this is when Selena mentions that they heard reports of infection in Paris and New York on the radio.
Yeah, and that was that was when the TV stopped broadcasting.
Exactly, yeah. And he's saying he needs to find his parents, and they talk about the rules, and they decide that they're going to go do it tomorrow.
Yeah, and the next scene is literally them walking to the parents' house, and you're walking more through London, and it's Mark and Selena and Jim.
Mm-hmm. And they're walking on the railway, or like the...
Yeah,
and Mark seems pretty dopey.
He seems like his contract in this movie was shorter than everyone else's.
Because he's going to die soon.
Spoiler alert. Oh,
and then Selena's like annoyed by him.
So I think Selena just doesn't want to get close to anyone.
Yeah, I do think Selena's keeping everyone at arm's length because everyone you love dies and she doesn't want to fall in love again because she doesn't want to be hurt again, Mikey.
Right.
So they eventually do get to his parents' house.
Right.
He goes in and then they find his parents dead.
Mm-hmm.
And
laying
it looks like
bed.
They had died about 28 days ago.
Right.
And they pulled a notebook and did a murder-suicide at the end.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happens at the end of the notebook?
I absolutely think at the end of the notebook, he and her take an overdose together and die.
No,
he murdered.
Is there any
her.
Evidence of that in the movie?
Yeah, there's tons of evidence. People don't die at the same time.
If they're really in love, they
That's
do.
Not true.
Somebody get Nicholas Sparks on the phone right now.
He tells that story. She's like, oh, I don't want to be Alzheimer's anymore. Let's just do this. And like, that was their plan. And then he kills her and then kills himself.
Oh, geez.
That is not how it
goes.
Yeah, that's the end of the notebook, everyone. Hot take.
Nope.
Mikey, I wrote you every day for a year.
Yeah.
Someone Photoshop me holding up Mikey, making out with him in the rain. Aww. Do that now.
No, I'm just
I
telling
want
you,
to see
I'm
that art.
You, they have a great love story. It's a great love story. Lots of love letters. And then at the end, he kills her and himself. The Notebook, everybody.
I'm choosing to believe that that is not the ending of The Notebook.
But it's not the ending for Killian's parents, who definitely
killed him. I mean, they do kill themselves. And it was funny because I walk in and I was like, I don't see how they died. And then and immediately the camera cuts to the nightstand where it's like pills and wine. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, thank you, Danny Boyle, for showing me exactly what happened.
And that happened later when you said, where did his shirt go? And then they immediately showed it on the razor wire.
Oh, my God. Like, that's funny.
There it is. Okay. Yeah.
I was really sad because like they held a picture of him while they died.
They did.
And they it's obviously written from the perspective of their son's in the hospital in a coma and they're taking their own life because, you know, of what's happening.
There's a zombie apocalypse.
And then
yeah.
at the end, it literally is signed, don't wake up.
Yeah. It says, with endless love, we left you sleeping. Now we're sleeping with you. Don't wake up. Yeah. It's really sad.
It's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like The Notebook.
It's not like The Notebook. No.
It's just like The Notebook.
Although this is one of the greatest love stories ever told. So in that way, it's like The Notebook. And this they
movie?
Kiss in the rain. I think. Yeah, it's so sweet. Oh, all right.
They decide to stay here for the night.
Right. Because it's a natural thing. Like, they know there's not infected in there. And they're in a house.
Yeah, and Jim is like, he's trying to figure out if they're together. You guys can take the room upstairs. I'll sleep on the couch. And Selena's like, no. We sleep, in, the
sleep in the same
place.
Room.
It's
and then,
safer.
And then he's like, well, I'm not super into that. Like, I just met y'all. I don't want to be a third wheel in the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not into the whole
Menage a cinq.
Five? Gross.
It's just like The Notebook.
Oh, I hate this joke. Geez,
I know.
I'm pulling the ripcord on this joke. We're out.
All right. Okay, so they're all sitting around, and this is when Mark tells his really sad story about going to...
Blah, blah, blah. He's about to be dead.
Like, I don't know. For some reason, they went to a thing with a bunch of people, and then everybody started getting infected and killing each other.
They went to a train, and they tried to buy tickets, like trying to like use all their money to try to buy tickets off of the island, but everybody had the same idea, and it turned into
Just take a boat.
Or swim.
Yeah, you could swim the channel or the channel.
The channel.
The channel's the tunnel, right?
There are sharks in the channel.
I would take my chances with maybe sharks over definite rage zombies.
But what are you swimming to?
France. I don't think I would make it, but I would rather drown. Listen, I save nothing for the swim back. I love Gattaca, man.
Oh,
all right,
Gattaca.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I haven't seen that. Sorry, guys.
There's dozens of you.
Guys, if you like Gattaca, let me know. I'm a fan.
But so anyways, he says he lost hold of his sister's hand and then he climbed to a high place and
he just saw it. Yeah, because there's no one else to go and everyone was squishing it.
Exactly. Yeah. And so everybody started getting infected underneath him and it sounds really horrible.
Yeah, he climbed to the top of a kiosk and then blah, 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 survived.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, he watched his dad turn or whatever. Yeah, it was like, I was like, whatever, Mark.
Yeah, no
like
one believes
Mark.
You, Mark.
Yeah, no, yeah. Mark is nice.
But did you
Mark
guys notice
well.
That the scene he described is exactly like The Notebook?
I did, yeah. Where was Mark when The Notebook was being written?
He wrote you every day for a year, Jim.
I know. Right.
Anyway, so they go to bed, but Jim can't sleep, so he goes in the kitchen and has this dream.
This orange juice memory.
Yeah, this orange juice. I thought it was more like a dream of what could have been.
Right,
kind of
like
his
a hallucination.
Yeah.
If everything were still normal and he was walking in.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And it's like, this is happening in the kitchen. He sees his mom and dad getting him orange juice and them talking or whatever. And he sort of does talk back. Mm-hmm. But what we don't see is on the outside, Zombie Team 6 is about to jump in and attack him. Because it's so coordinated, though. One comes through the door as one comes through the skylight.
Right.
And they jump on him. And then Michonne, or whatever her name is, Selena comes in there with the machete and kills him. And, Mark's in the fray, too. And they're like yelling at Jim. Did any blood get on you? Did any blood get on you? And
he's like there's blood all over me.
Yeah, there's blood over me. Did it get in your eyes or mouth?
Did it get in your mouth? Yeah.
No. I'm good. And then they look over at Mark and he's got a cut on his arm with a bunch of blood all over his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks up at Selena scared and Selena's like, it's go time.
Right. And he's like, no, wait.
He's like, I need space.
I found your replacement.
Right.
And
he's so dreamy.
And Killian is like,
what?
Taking all this like a champ, man. Like, the world's over. His parents are dead. mm-hmm. just watched a woman murder a guy. And she's like, do you have regular clothes here instead of your scrubs? He's like, yeah, they're upstairs. And she's like, go change. And
right.
he's like, okay.
And get stuff because we need to leave immediately because more infected are going to be coming.
And I'll be honest with you. I think she made the right choice to kill Mark just because, I mean, you already have Killian. What are you doing here? But
well, yeah.
I think it was the right time to do it mm-hmm. because there's plausible deniability there, right? He may or may not have been infected and she's just trying to get him out of the picture.
Well, also, it's probably easier to kill him physically before he becomes infected.
Oh, no, it
infected.
Is. That's what she says. Yeah. Yeah. My shitty joke aside, that is, that is the truth. Like, you have 10 to 20 seconds to kill them before they turn.
Right.
And they're a lot more difficult to kill. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this where they talk about their philosophies or whatever? They're different, like...
This is the very next scene. Okay. Yeah. So now they're walking away, and I'm not sure where they're going. I don't know if they know where they're going. But yeah, so they're starting to talk about it, and he's asking, how did you know he was infected? And she said, I could just see it on his face.
Yeah.
The fear. She talks about, like, if I think you're infected, I'm going to kill you first thing. I won't hesitate.
I'll do it in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat. And then he's like, you know, I would.
Just like The Notebook, man.
It is kind of a romantic story.
Yeah.
And then.
It pays off later.
And he's like, I would wait and see. He's right. And then she's mm-hmm. like, whatever, you're dope.
Well, and so this was a backstory that she and Danny Boyle created that wasn't actually in the movie, but to create kind of this really hard exterior that she's got and not wanting to get close to anybody. So apparently her backstory was she had to kill her parents in order to save her baby brother, and then found out her baby brother was also infected and had to kill him too. So, I mean, they don't talk about it in the movie, but
that makes sense though.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, he's just been through one day of this, and it's like, he's just seen his parents. Like, she's been living with this for like 28 days. But yeah. So, I mean, I think it makes sense why she, her philosophy makes sense, he's saying, you know, I think there's more to life than just surviving. And that's going to come back a little bit later.
Which is pretty high level thought for a guy who's like 12 hours out of a 3-week coma.
But he's a romantic, you know?
Yeah, that would be me. I'd be like, yeah, girl, I'd wait for you.
He's a bike messenger with a heart of gold.
He is. You can see it in his eyes.
And then we see in the distance Christmas lights.
Mm-hmm, blinking
and
on and off.
They're like, Christmas in July? We've got to check out this sale.
That is what they said.
Killian, who was like, look, Christmas, let's go.
Yeah. So they go, I think they literally say, not to step on your jokes, but I think they literally say, we should check that out or something like
that. Right. It's very serious. They're like, look over there.
Because it's like they're signaling to him, you know.
It is. I honestly thought it was like a flytrap situation where the people that were there were like cannibals or something, mm-hmm. sort of like in Pandorum.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. So we go there.
It's the opposite.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of
but
that.
But that is kind of a trope that you see in a lot of times. So
that's what I thought we were going to see. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the trope we're running into when they get later in the movie.
Right.
So they get there. They walk through these plastic sheeting. They see a bunch of like shopping carts set up and a big chain going mm-hmm. down through the stairs. And then they start walking to the stairs. And Danny's like, listen, I'm like 2 days out of a coma. I'm super emaciated. I have a huge headache. Mm-hmm. I can't keep up with you. Do you have anything for my headache? She starts looking for like more sugar.
Right.
And as they're talking over, like, do you want to Sprite, Pepsi, or Fanta, or uh-huh. whatever, they start to hear zombies chasing them and they start to run up the stairs.
Because they hear the shopping carts. And I didn't notice this the first couple of times, but you said that's a good idea because you would hear that.
Yeah, you would hear it.
Yeah, because they're climbing over the shopping carts. And so
zombies aren't like smart enough to be like, oh, I should sneak. Right. They're just all about getting to wherever they're going to. They're like single-minded in that sense. Right. So they're not going to sneak through it. They're going to make all the noise mm-hmm. and then Mad-Eye Moody is going to hear them and be able to protect his daughter.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So it's a great
genius.
Plan.
It is. It's a good plan.
Mad-Eye Moody is the best.
Anyway, so the zombies are chasing after Selena and Jim.
Uh-huh.
And they start running up the steps and they mm-hmm. eventually get to just a guy who's like decked out in fucking riot gear. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he lets them pass, but doesn't really say anything to them.
No, he says corridor on the left.
That's right. Yeah. He actually gives them the house number. Mm-hmm. That's right. So he goes, they run past him and they're like beating on the door. Let us in, let us in. And the girl mm-hmm. on the side is like, where's my dad?
Right.
Where's my dad? And her dad is currently murdering zombies.
He like beats one of them up or machetes one of them. And then the other one just falls down the steps and lands on the shopping
cart. Oh, that was pretty brutal, man.
It was. Yeah. Then so he's like, okay, you can let him in. And she lets him in and they sit down and it's just Christmas time.
And it reveals that it's Mad-Eye Moody. And I love this guy. He's such a good actor. He's so good in this
Brendan
movie.
Brendan Gleeson. And he is amazing.
He is. Still. And he's so happy to see them. Mm-hmm. He brings out the absinthe and is like, so let's trip balls on this shit.
Did you pick this up on this scene? So basically what's going on is there's Christmas music, Christmas lights, Christmas food and stuff. He's like trying to relive Christmas for his daughter to make it like okay that the world has ended.
Yeah. Aww. I get that. But they're playing Frosty the Snowman mm-hmm. on the radio, or not radio, but like record player or whatever. Yeah.
They get out the mom's creme de menthe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun fact. This scene was shot on September
11th, 2001. What?
Yeah, that's not a fun fact at all, Jen.
These are horrifying
interesting
facts.
Interesting fact. Well, but they talked about how it felt so weird to be shooting this celebration scene on that day.
Yeah. So this is when Jim goes to shave and cut his hair.
Mm-hmm. Dry shaving.
Yeah, dry shave.
Oh, my God. And have you dry shaved, Todd?
Yep. Yeah, but no, you don't do it. It's very painful.
It is.
You have?
So he's shaving. Mad-Eye Moody comes in and says, hey, you guys can take the room. And he's like, no, we're not together. I'll sleep on the couch. But he does talk to Selena.
Uh-huh.
And they're like talking back and forth. Selena's like, they need us more than we need them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And she goes, they're slow. They would make us slow. I would leave them.
Yeah. If they slow us down, I'll leave them behind in a heartbeat.
Yeah, because she is like very, I'm going to stay alive. If it behooves me to have you guys around, I'll have you guys around. But the second you're not useful to me, I'm out.
Because I'm not getting close to anyone ever again.
Right. And then Jim goes, well, I wouldn't leave him behind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is this when he thanks her?
Yes. Yeah. He thanks her for saving him. He says, I wouldn't be alive without you. And he says, I do understand why you feel that way.
Yes. He acknowledges her feelings.
Yeah.
And then Jen thought he was hitting on her, but I did not get that read from this.
I didn't think he was hitting on her. I did think he was being kind to her. And man, if I were how do you sleep down the hall from that?
You take those pills that she has. That's what you do. I really like that. Mad-Eye Moody reveals later that he heard all of that conversation, but doesn't reveal that until he's like, hey, there's this radio signal telling us to go to Manchester, roadblock 42 or whatever.
Right.
And then she's like, I don't want to do that. And he goes, yeah. We overheard you last night.
We know.
Do you think he was like, wait for them to hook up?
So he could hear it?
Yeah.
No.
That's
not
why he was like, you guys can take the bedroom that I can totally hear everything in.
He offered that bedroom.
Jen, the walls aren't thin. He has camera equipment set up in that room.
He doesn't need a camera. Room. He's got a mad
eye. Yeah. He's got a hole in the wall.
Where the men can see
it
all.
Oh, I can.
Not Mad-Eye Moody. He would never.
Oh, my God.
He had his ear against the wall, and he's like, okay, so he's thanking her. This could happen. This could happen. Yeah. And then he goes to bed. He's like,
so close.
I guess I'll show him the radio signal.
Yeah, and he also shows up on the roof. They've been saving all the rainwater in like a billion plastic pots.
Buckets and shit like that. Right. Yeah, it's pots and buckets and anything that would catch rain.
But that it hasn't rained in 10 days, and they can't. He knows they can't stay there.
He knows they need to leave. They're not going to have enough food for everybody or enough water for everybody. They've got to move.
And
so,
he can't do it. He says, I can't do it without other people because I would be too afraid to take my daughter out of the safety in case something happened to me. Yeah. And he was smart to say that.
He's a good dad.
He is a good dad. I love
his character.
I do too.
I like this.
Anyway, so they are going to leave. Yeah, they load up in the taxi and they bone out.
Right.
And then it becomes a road trip movie.
It does. And this is a fun part of the movie.
I think it's real dumb. The way they choose to get out of London is through a tunnel. Mm. And okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
Can taxis just like drive on top of cars?
In Britain, they can.
They have monster truck wheels in Britain.
That's why I was not aware. Decker.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Now I stand corrected. They go over the roadblock of cars, which didn't really seem like a roadblock. It seemed more like it was a traffic jam. Right?
Which is the logical thing that would happen in a tunnel because we've read The Stand.
Yeah. So they drive over and then as they're driving off of it, they break a tire or pop a tire or
Shockingly,
whatever.
Their car suffers damage from driving over other cars.
They could have gone the long way around. And I think that would have been the smart move.
Yes, it would have been. Because now their tires popped. They can't move. They got to change the tire. And Jim's like, this is the worst place for us to pop a tire.
Exactly. Yeah. And thanks, Captain Obvious. Yeah. You're still so beautiful. I'll allow it, though.
So they start to change the tire and then they see a fucking flood of rats coming at them.
Mm-hmm.
They make the little girl change the tire.
They don't make her.
I mean, she knows how to do it, which is cool.
Yeah. I mean, the dad is like, hey, get the jack. You jack up the car.
No, he's like, this is the perfect opportunity. I'm going to teach you how to change the tire.
Right. No, she knows. We find out later that she's actually one of the
members. She worked for NASCAR, right?
Yeah, or she's one of the crew from Fast and Furious.
Yeah, she's definitely Fast and Furious.
We'll talk about it.
But it's gross because she's laying on the ground under this car and all the rats start to come in. They're like all around her head.
I was very concerned that they were infected.
Yeah.
Because we can infect animals, right?
It can.
Because it came from apes.
Right. But apparently it doesn't infect rats.
But so the rats were running towards them. And then we start to see shadows of human figures. Uh-huh. So they're like, oh, they're running away from the infected.
Right.
And then they're instead of like, we got to run away because they probably die. Everyone goes to hold up the car. Fuck the jack. And she being the daughter.
Hannah.
Is going to change the tire while they're lifting the car.
Because now we've introduced a ticking clock.
The ticking clock being zombies, Mikey.
It's zombie o'clock.
Let me tell you about these zombies, okay? These are like average.
Let me tell you the truth about fast zombies.
Let me tell you the truth about fast zombies. People aren't in like super good shape anywhere, basically, in the Western world. I'm just saying the percentage of zombies that are like super in shape, pretty high.
Fun fact, Danny Boyle hired athletes to play all of the infected.
Because they had to run.
Yeah, exactly. So, but they just in the nick of time saved the day and changed the tire. And Cillian Murphy dreamily just sticks his whole top of his body out yelling at the zombies.
That's
saying,
so dumb.
You think you're going to get us?
Cillian Murphy is really stupid in this movie. He makes a lot of very stupid decisions. This being the
first one? I think he makes just kind of short-sighted impact. He just doesn't think things through all the way, I think.
Well,
but
it's almost like a bicycle messenger is acting like a bicycle messenger.
Wow, that's very rude to bicycle messengers.
He saves the day, man, though. I'll allow it. So they pull up to the grocery store now because they're hungry from all of that tire-changing fun. And so they go in and this is...
I loved this scene.
I did too. Good. This was a fun little moment.
A breather.
It was. I do think it's a nice little fun moment. Yeah. This and when they're talking about the horses, because this is a really dark movie.
It is. Yeah. And this is like a little bright side in the dark movie. Mm-hmm. And they just like take anything that's canned that you don't have to cook, they load up with it. And then they leave. And I love that Mad-Eye Moody puts his credit card at the register and just walks out. I love that.
They also find a bunch of apples.
They do. Yeah. Apples that are apparently genetically modified so haven't gone bad yet or something. Right. And so one of the things Mad-Eye Moody gets is some whiskey. And fun fact, that's the same whiskey that Ron Swanson loves from Parks and Rec.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's Lagavulin.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. They're all happy and they're starting to kind of become a little team.
They become sort of a family unit, which I really liked.
I do too.
Yeah.
So they get to a gas station and a gasoline truck. And so now they got to refill their car because where they're going is like 2 or 3 days away.
Yeah.
And so they go to a gasoline truck. Mad-Eye Moody uses a siphon to get gasoline out of the truck to put in his car.
Which is real gross, but yeah.
Right. And Jim, for some reason, wants to go into this gas station, and he says something about wanting cheeseburgers.
Yeah, because it's like it says last cheeseburger for 60 miles
or
whatever.
All of us in the room were like, why would he go in there? And so like one of the characters goes, Selena goes, why would you go in there? And he's like, I want to see the last cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And we're all like, I think he wanted to eat a cheeseburger.
He hasn't had any space since his coma.
True.
You think he wants to jerk one out, Mikey?
No, not Cillian Murphy.
No, he did.
He would never. So he goes in and he's got a baseball bat with him for protection. And it's really sad. He sees like a finger in the wall or something.
It was like, it looked like a finger. It may have been like something like a sticky thing, like a novelty shop finger, but it looked like a finger. I don't know, man.
Like
it was definitely doing
of,
a
like,
come
novel-
hither motion.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I thought that was just a hook. Was that a finger?
It looked like a finger to me.
I wasn't looking that carefully.
Oh, yeah.
But he also sees dead bodies around.
Yeah, I was looking at the dead bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of them is my least favorite thing about this movie. It's the mother with the baby. Yeah.
Oh,
and
that was so sad.
And this is the second movie that Danny Boyle has showed a dead baby in that I was not.
Lock it up, Danny.
I know. It's just disturbing.
So he is looking for his cheeseburger in paradise?
I was going to say that.
And then this little, like, maybe 12-year-old boy comes running at him. Mm-hmm. And at the last second, he turns and hits him with the bat, and the boy falls down.
Yeah.
And then he kills the boy.
Yeah, he has killed it.
Because
so now
you
he's
have
killed
to.
Someone. Mm-hmm.
Which is just like Rick Grimes, episode one of The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Love that part, but it's just like that. And then he walks out of the last cheeseburger in paradise.
Mm-hmm. Didn't get a cheeseburger.
No.
Yeah, they're like, what happened? He's like, nothing. Yeah,
they would have heard him beating that child.
Or assumed that that's a logical thing that would have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now they're ready to go. And so they take off and everything's fine.
This is when Hannah, who is far away in the taxi, I don't, maybe just to keep her safe because they don't know what's over there.
So
when Mad-Eye Moody has enough gas, she like two wheels it over there to them and like, he's like, break.
Yeah.
And he like, she is awesome at driving. Why is she not driving?
Right.
So because
she's
her dad
her
is
skills.
Clearly drunk on that Lagavulin.
Oh, yeah. So they pull over to some ruins. It's not Stonehenge. I know, but it is ruins
What's
of an old house.
What's the meaning of Stonehenge? I'm so sorry.
Oh, I would sing along if I knew it, but I don't know it.
You don't know that song?
Mm-mm.
It's guys, everyone Google What's the Meaning of Stonehenge. There's a funny comedic music video
song,
out there
song,
for you.
Song.
Good point. Yeah. make sure it's the song or else you're going to get the aliens guy with the aliens. Right. That's right. So everyone Google What's the Meaning of Stonehenge song. Enjoy.
But so they pull up to House Stonehenge,
yes,
and are going to have a picnic in
it's like a ruins of a castle.
Right. These thing. Delightful ruins. And they see a family of wild horses that are running in the field. And it's a sweet moment.
It
and
is.
I think it kind of symbolizes like they're coming together.
Yeah, because there's four of them. There's four of the horses. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now Jim and Selena are walking around talking. And Selena's just saying a bunch of real sad into the world stuff. She's like, you're never going to read a book that hasn't been written yet.
Yeah. Well, she's
no
like, I better
Stephen
know what you're
King
thinking.
Books coming.
And much like Jim says, she's like, well, those are things that you're thinking because she's saying, you know, you're never going to see a film that hasn't been shot or read a book that hasn't been written.
Yeah.
And then they see the family or, you know, Mad-Eye Moody and his daughter. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well,
she says it's okay for them because they have each other. They have like a reason to live. You know?
Surviving is not simply the best you can hope for. Yeah.
Then is that what Jim says?
No, that's what she says. And then he says, that's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And then she kisses him on the cheek like she's 8 years old with a crush.
But it's so sweet.
I like Jim as a character, except for his like weird.
Jim is wildly dumb, but I like him as a character.
He's got a good heart. He
does
like,
have
sees
a good
the
heart.
Best in things.
Sure.
Yeah.
And
but
he's
real stupid.
The day at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. He's sensitive and super like manly.
All right. So now they're having their picnic and they're going to sleep.
Oh, yeah. And they're having trouble sleeping because they're out in the open. There's a fire, right?
Yeah. And there might be haunted ghosts in these ruins, too.
I don't care about haunted
ghosts.
So many
ghosts. Threats around.
There are zombies that can just run up on you at any moment.
That's true.
Ugh. Anyway, so they find out that Selena is taking sleeping pills because she's a chemist, which Nick knows means pharmacist. Because
Nick
is in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
Nick
B. Gotcha. Thanks, Nick B.
Yeah, thank you for your fun fact, Nick B. I know that, too, because I've been to the
because
UK.
Because I was just in the UK on my vacation.
I'm like a world traveler, guys.
Yeah. So now they're going to sleep, and Jim wakes up, and everybody's gone, and they've left him.
Yes.
And it turns out that it's a bad dream, but I think this shows, like, that's what he's really afraid of, is being alone. Just like when he woke up in the hospital bed and everyone in London was gone.
Right.
But turns out it was just a dream. And Mad-Eye Moody's going and says, you're just having a bad dream. And he says, thanks, Dad. And it's really sweet.
It is really sweet.
Like he doesn't, I don't know if he even realizes he's doing it.
No, I think he's like half asleep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really sweet.
So he goes back to sleep and then he wakes up again. And it seems like he's back in the dream he just left. And then Christopher Nolan was like, ooh, I have a good idea.
Uh-oh. What if there are levels in our dreams?
Yep. And then he was like, give me Killian Murphy immediately.
And seven other super hot guys in this movie. And Ellen Page, who is also awesome.
But he wakes up and it's not a dream.
Right.
They're just all in the car. And like, yo, hurry up, Jim, you idiot.
Well, but he woke up Selena the night before. This is definitely them getting him back for that.
True. He
what
said,
a dick
wake
move
up.
That was.
How did you get to sleep? We know it's hard to sleep.
That's Selena.
Totally who
she
I
has
was.
The machete. She needs to like.
She almost popped him with a machete.
Yeah.
But they don't wake him. Like, they do the super dangerous way to wake him up by honking.
Yeah.
Which will alert all the infected instead of just saying, hey, Jim, it's time to go.
Right.
You're super dreamy.
They're like, Jim, wake up.
Yeah. Hey, infected.
And
Jim's
by the way,
wake
you only have 30 seconds to get to the car because every infected person within a mile is running at us right now.
Exactly. All right. So now they're driving again and they get to Manchester.
Oh, yeah. And it is clear that Manchester U just won the Premier League because the town is literally on fire.
You would think it would be worse if they lost.
Nope.
But it's not.
That's not how it works. Yeah.
The whole town is on fire.
Those hooligans just lit that bitch up.
Right. And we're kidding, Manchester United fans. Please don't come like
that. Yeah, they would never win the Premier League.
Don't apologize to them.
Yeah, they would never win the Premier League. Actually, their team, Manchester U is very good, but it's not as good as Derby County all day.
Jokes aside, Manchester is burning down.
Yeah, we love the Premier League, guys. It's fine. Manchester fans, let's do it. We're just joking, guys. You can like whatever Premier League team you like.
So now they get to a blockade, and this is where they were going.
Yeah.
So they're at the blockade, the barricade of freedom. They're here.
I literally said there's 45 minutes left in this movie. Everyone here is dead.
Right.
Because there's no way this can be the end.
Yeah. And we said, oh, a bunch of fucked up shit's about to happen.
Yeah. We paused it and you said that you're like, I think the most fucked up stuff happens after this.
Yeah. And it
and
does.
That was after what happens to Mad-Eye Moody happens.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This is the part with Mad-Eye Moody.
Oh, I hated this part so much.
This is what you get for yelling at birds.
Yeah, that's listen, true. You never...
Take it personal.
And it was a crow. You guys saw that, right?
It might be the Dark Man.
Or it could have been a magpie.
From The Stand. So, Matt, they're here, and nobody's there. They're driving around this like maze of cars, and it's deserted, and so Mad-Eye Moody gets really frustrated because like he pinned all his hopes and dreams on this.
Yeah. And Selena's deserted. Like, we have to leave. And he goes, where?
Where
are we
going to
go? And then he sits down, and this magpie is like...
Right. And he goes to kick the sign that the magpie's on because the magpie is eating an infected.
Yeah. Oh, he goes so over sad. And starts to give the magpie shit. And yeah. then blood falls out of the magpie's mouth and lands right in his eye. What right are in the odds?
In his mad eye.
Million to one shot. Oh, my God.
So now he has mad eyes disease.
Oh, my God. No joke. That's how he got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. The drop falls right in his eye, and it's so sad.
Oh, my God.
This is, okay. I don't think the blood would have fell in his eye.
Well, it did.
It did. So he at this point is
fun
like
fact, Mikey.
this is super sad though, because he's it telling is. His daughter, like, get away from me. I'm oh, so yeah. sorry I lost my temper. I love you very much. Mm-hmm.
Because he knows what's about to happen. Yeah. And my friend Eric was talking about this on social media. Hey Eric, how are you? And talking about this is his favorite scene. I feel
Can
bad.
I just shout out my friends too?
I feel bad. Hey Todd.
Hey Mikey. Oh wait.
Aww.
I need more friends.
So my friend Eric was commenting on this on our social media site, and he said this was his, like, the most sad part of the movie, because as a parent, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You want to give your daughter one last hug, but you know that you will probably kill her if you do. And it's just, oh, it's so sad.
Yeah, because he goes, Hannah, I love you.
Yeah.
I want you to know I love you. I'll always love you. Mm-hmm. It's real sad.
Yeah, I think
he handles
he
it right, though. I mean,
he
like,
does, yeah.
And then Selena's holding the daughter so yeah. she doesn't run to her dad, and mm-hmm. she's like, kill him, Jim.
Yeah.
Kill him now.
And Jim doesn't want to because
no.
it's like,
but
his
he does
father
hold
figure.
The bat up.
He does. He's about
oh,
to.
I definitely think Jim would have.
I think
he was
so too.
On his way. Yeah. I don't think Jim would have enjoyed it. Like,
right. He doesn't want to.
Right. But Mad-Eye Moody gets shot by soldiers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The soldiers that were there the whole time.
Yeah.
Soldiers.
Oh, no.
Just let it happen. Yeah.
Right. They're
like,
jerks.
This guy's getting so pissed. Let's like, wait, just give like 30 more seconds.
Yeah. Let's right. see. Let's see how far it goes.
We're not going to kill this magpie. I guess that would have been.
Yeah, why would you shoot a bird? Rude. Anyway, so Mad-Eye Moody's shot like 3 times,
yeah.
falls down.
Oh, it's
and
so
then
sad.
Hannah, his daughter, goes, Dad, you know what bullets do.
Right.
Well, not in England.
Oh, that's true. The gun control.
Right.
Yeah.
So now they're in an army jeep and they're going to this mansion and they pull up to.
Yeah,
like,
that's where they do the Great British Bake Off.
Yeah, or Downton Abbey.
Or any other right. input.
This is the only other
British
building
mansion.
In England.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It all We're looks kids. The same.
It does. I'm
We're
just
kidding,
saying, maybe. Branch out, UK.
Fancy. Apparently, this was a real house, and the owner, they had to shoot all of their scenes on the bottom level because the owner kept living in the top level of it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
Hold it down.
So they're taking a shower, and...
Well, yeah, because the captain, or it's the guy who played the doctor, that he's the...
Christopher Eccleston.
The ninth
Eccleston.
Doctor or whatever.
He's talking, and he's introducing them to the house. They're taking showers, and Hannah is really sad, and Selena
yeah.
and Jim are talking to each other. She's really upset too, and Jim's comforting her, and then they start kissing, and it's so sweet.
It is pretty
I
sweet,
love
yeah.
them together.
Now, here's some red flags for this situation. Jeez. That there's only like 10 dude soldiers and no other civilians there.
Yeah, I don't think these are like the A squad that they're trying to like
no.
rebuild stuff with.
These are just the dudes that have guns.
So
they're taking showers. He's showing them the compound that they have.
Right.
The defenses. They've got landmines and they've got like high fences and mm-hmm. barbed wire. And
right.
it's just a safe place. They right. have a guy who's like a dedicated cook who's wearing an apron.
Right.
Who I liked quite a bit. I thought it was great.
Well, and they said because all of Manchester was burning, like the infected were running out of.
Yes.
So they're all over the woods all around.
Yeah.
And he says their real job is to not protect or try to find a cure. Their real job is to rebuild. And then he introduces them to Mailer, who is one of their own soldiers who got infected a couple of days ago, and they just got a chain around his neck. So he's just like in a courtyard on a leash, and he runs up and scares the fuck out
that
of Jim.
That scared the hell out of me,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, and he's talking about how like he can learn about infection, and it's pretty heartless considering this was one of his own soldiers.
Yeah.
But it's not stupid.
No, it's not dumb.
I mean,
it's
it doesn't work
shitty,
out for him.
But it's some yeah. good points.
He yeah. does. Because he says, I want to know how long it takes them to starve to death.
Yeah, because then we'll have a general idea of when it's safe to go back out.
Exactly.
And then he said he figured out you can't train them to do anything.
Right. Right. Yeah. They have no future. They can't focus on anything but just being enraged.
Yeah.
And so fun fact about this, I was reading a long article about like the infected and lots of details that are in other like sequels and books and stuff. So apparently you could like an infected could last for about 8 weeks before they starve to
okay.
death. I think you find yeah. that out in the sequel. But
okay.
yeah, once you get infected, it changes your body chemistry so that you can survive longer without food. And now it's fancy dinner time. So they're all having a fancy dinner featuring canned everything
and omelets.
An omelet.
Yes.
Omelets are delicious, man.
I do love omelets.
Yeah. Except
not
when,
these.
Not these omelets.
Because the eggs have gone south.
They've gone off. And Hannah's sad. She says, I just want to bury my dad. And Selena, yeah. Selena doesn't trust anybody, really. Except
no,
for
but
now
she doesn't.
Really.
The major goes in a big speech like, it's not too bad. You know, I've seen people killing people four weeks before. And like the sergeant on the other side of the table was like, no. I don't agree with your philosophy. They have like a little moment.
Yeah. He's like the new wave sergeant, which is what I called him. And they also say we need someone with a little flair in the kitchen. Wingy blingy.
Yeah. Looking at Hannah.
Two women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're talking about things going back to normal, too. So then they hear, I'm not sure what it is. They hear some kind
of
alarm.
No, they hear a landmine explode.
Oh, they do. Yeah. Telling them that they're infected, trying to get to the house.
Because they have landmines in the field and trip wires. But a landmine goes off and they're like, oh, shit, we're being attacked. Everyone go to your battle stations, more or less.
One of these zombies must have just written a book and was talking about it. And now he's dead. That's an Overlord joke.
That's a throwback to the Overlord episode. Check it out. And they do. So they go to their battle stations. They start mowing down the zombies that are running towards them. Mm-hmm. And then one of them gets like they kill almost all of them. The last one steps on a landmine and explodes all over them.
Yeah.
And they're just like open mouth, open eyed, like, oh, this is the coolest thing ever. And that is the last thing you should do in that situation.
Exactly. I know this will infect me.
Yeah. Let me see if I can taste what you taste like.
Right. And
it's
one
so
of
dumb.
Them that's going to, I don't know what his name is, but he's just a dick. He's
he's
just
the asshole.
Taking joy in like seeing how they blow up and shooting them down. Yeah. He's like the last person you want to be in military service. So now they're coming back to the house and this asshole takes Selena's machete and he starts like putting his hands on her and Jim kind of tries to get in the way. And then we hear the doctor or the major say, slow down.
Yeah.
And sends all of them out to go clear the bodies off the lawn because they've got company coming the next day.
Right.
That's more important.
But the sergeant's like, this isn't right. He's like, you go clear the bodies out.
Right. Yeah. I know there are landmines out there, but it's more important that those bodies are
I understand that, but whatever. Anyways. Then he looks at Jim and he goes, I wanted to save you or something like that.
Yeah. He says, come have a drink with me.
Yeah.
And so he's talking to him and he asks, who have you killed? You wouldn't have been alive if you hadn't killed someone. And so then Jim talks about the boy he killed in the gas station. And the doctor says that it was survival and he understands.
Yeah, he had to. And he did. Like, it's not.
He did, yeah. But then he says, I promised them women. And he says,
that's a red flag.
Well, he says, I caught a soldier with a gun in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll kill himself because he's like, there's no future, no hope.
Right.
So I said, we'll hook up the radio. I'll transmit out and lure women here.
Right. Because like what we were talking about, we know how long the zombies can survive without food. But how long is this group, if they are the only ones left in the world, how long are they going to survive without women to repopulate?
And this is the problem of utilitarian ethics. Which is like, you know, you can bend rules to do what needs to be done, which we need to repopulate. But like luring women in and taking them hostage and raping them is not the way to
do it.
Yeah. Like when this was happening, I was like, I get the plan. Like the nuts and bolts of the plan, I understand.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't rape, that's fine. Like if it's consensual, then cool. The population will continue. But they are real rapey. They're going about it the wrong way.
And I feel like they're trying to justify their actions.
Oh, yeah.
But this is when I decided that I'm going to shave my head if we ever have the apocalypse, because this is what would happen.
You're going to pull an Arya Stark.
Yeah. So Jim just kind of books it out and is trying to get Hannah and Selena. And this is when I think what you were talking about earlier, when they hit him and he kind of grayed out.
Oh, it is that part. Sorry. Yeah.
This is when it happens. And then they take him and Sergeant New Wave. They said, I want to give you a chance to come with us.
Yeah.
And Jim's like, fuck no.
No, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah. It's like, how do you feel about rape? Jim's like, not great. Cut to him on a radiator.
Jim's like, I've spent days being kind and liking this woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I was going to rape, it would have happened already, so I'm good. Thanks.
And also, that's bad, and I wouldn't ever do it, no matter
exactly.
what happens.
Yeah.
Exactly. So now they are on the radiator.
Yeah, and Sergeant is talking to Jim.
And he's talking about how, like, the infected can't get across water, so it's probably just the island, and they've quarantined the island, and we're all just here killing each other. And if you've seen the sequel, spoiler alert, but it's the very beginning. That's what's happened.
I haven't seen the sequel. That's heavily implied in this movie.
Right.
Well, Selena says this case is, so you have a doubt, but then the sergeant's like, he sells it pretty good out there.
Oh, yeah. And then in a second, we're about to see an airplane flying over. Right. We know.
Well, obviously quarantined. Why are we acting like animals?
Exactly. Right. Fun fact, as they were shooting through this movie, because it's mostly shot chronologically, they shot that scene, and then later on, they were like, hey, we should probably keep it a little more ambiguous rather than box themselves into this is an entire world thing. So they intentionally left it open-ended to whether it spread to the rest of the world. So that's why there's that kind of inconsistency.
I like
that.
I thought it was cool. Yeah.
So now they're taking Jim and New Age Guy out into the woods
because
they're about to murder them. The sergeant is just being a dick and talking about how he's going to rape Selena.
The
and
sergeant?
Terrible.
New Wave sergeant?
Sorry, not New Wave sergeant.
Yeah, just the dick guy. Yeah, he's like a private or whatever, but he's like the most aggressive of the other soldiers.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Yeah.
And so they get to this giant pile of bodies, and that's where this is like their execution zone or whatever.
I thought it might have been an execution zone slash where they just dump the zombie bodies and they're pulling off the field. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Potato, potato. Yeah, there's a bunch of bodies there. And so now Sergeant Asshole, Private Asshole, reveals himself to be even more of an asshole because instead of just shooting this guy who was his friend, he's just going to stab him, I guess, for the lols or something.
Well, no, because he doesn't want to shoot. That'll bring in walkers. That'll bring in zombies, right?
He was like, I'm going to make this hurt for you.
Yeah,
and the other guy was like, we should just execute him, just shoot him.
Yeah, the other soldier who went with the asshole private was like, let's just shoot him. It's going to be whatever. It'll be over quicker.
Right.
Yeah.
The private shoots him, and then Sergeant Asshole, Private Asshole, gets real mad and attacks him, and this
he's like, I was trying to be a psychopath and stab him to death.
Exactly. And this is when Jim is really smart because he runs away, then jumps in the pile of bodies.
Yeah. And they realize that he's run away, but they don't really see where he is, and they're like, fuck, we gotta get him. So they run, and then you see him pop up out of the bodies and run the other way.
Right. And in
this scene, he has a shirt on, and then in the next shot, he has no shirt on.
I know.
Yeah, Jen really liked this part.
I did like this
part. And if your hands are cuffed, you know what you can't do? Remove your shirt.
Unless we enter razor wire.
Mikey did not believe me.
All right. All I do is flex, bro, and this shirt shreds.
Ugh.
Oh, geez.
What are you, the Hulk?
Yeah.
Disagree.
All right.
Anyway, so for the rest of the movie, Cillian Murphy is shirtless.
Yep. In the rain. Oh, yeah.
That female gaze, man.
Mm, man. So he's running through the woods and he falls down, and this is when he sees a plane fly over.
Yeah. I liked it. I was like, oh, shit. It is all made up. No one outside of the UK is infected.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe there's hope after all.
Well, there's still a shit ton of people that have airplanes.
That's true.
Yeah.
We're not there
yet. That's enough.
So now we cut back to the house, and the doctor is a dick and is suggesting that Hannah and Selena put a little effort into their appearance while they get gang raped. And says the owner of the house has a lot. Yeah, it's
the lady of the house has outfits upstairs. We'll let you
she won't need them anymore. So he sends a soldier up to get them. And then the next thing we see is them like attacking her to try to take her clothes
off. They literally take her shirt off. Mm-hmm. And then she like reads the room.
Uh-huh.
And then she goes up and kisses the weakest of them all.
Uh-huh.
And then convinces, hey, listen, let me and Hannah change. We will change. Give us a little bit of decency. This doesn't have to be horrible.
Right.
And that guy is like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So all the soldiers leave and she starts to give Hannah pills.
Yeah.
This scene is terrifying. And
it is horrible.
So we didn't talk about this, but throughout the film, this movie uses music in such an amazing way.
It is very good.
Mm-hmm. And in the last 15 minutes, it uses this creepy song that just builds in suspense and tempo and stuff.
Yeah.
And like it starts with this scene. And
do you know what that song is called?
No.
In the House in a Heartbeat.
Oh,
I know. That's
so it was written for the movie then.
Yeah, it was.
Absolutely.
Written for the, it's been used in a couple other things too.
Cool.
But I love Selena so much in this movie because she just handles shit. And this is like, she's in this terrible situation and she's trying to navigate it as best she can and trying to look out for Hannah in this situation too. So she's about to give her pills. And saying it'll make you not care.
Yeah, because Hannah's like, are you trying to kill me? And she's like, no, I just want to make it so you're not going to care about what's about to happen to us.
Exactly, yeah. And then we'll try to escape. It's just really sad.
It is really sad.
Really sad, fucked up situation.
But they rush into the room before Selena can take any pills. Mm-hmm. Hannah does take pills, but Selena can't. They throw the bottle and then they sort of whatever.
Yeah, they drag them out. Yeah. But then they hear something on the blockade and we see in our room, it's Jim.
It's an air raid. It is
an air raid siren, and it's Jim
who is now out of his handcuffs.
Yeah,
which it's fine because there's things around he could cut handcuffs with because it wasn't like metal handcuffs.
He cut them off with his dreaminess or his cheekbones.
It could be both. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like raiding up an air siren.
Right. Yeah, to distract them. So the doctor and this
and
guy
calling zombies.
Yes, calling zombies too. Yeah.
Calling all zombies here. Calling all zombies. We have a really fucked up rape scene about to happen. Can we come in here and help this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they do. So the doctor and some guy named Davis go out there, and Jim is hiding behind the truck, and the doctor's just like spraying bullets all over.
Like an idiot. Like he's made of bullets. Come on, man.
Exactly. It doesn't work out. Because Jim gets the upper hand and smacks the other dude in the face with a crowbar. And then
drags him to the car they came in, or Jeep, or what, was it a station wagon, or was it a hearse? Sorry, I beat you to your joke. So then they drag Davis.
It's a Jeep, everybody.
It is a Jeep. So they drag him to the Jeep. Put him upright in the Jeep and then leaves. It is a power move.
No. Jim does a lot of power moves.
Yeah.
Jim actually, after he leaves that grave thing, he's a badass.
No, he's an idiot. He is a very stupid man.
No. So Jim learns that he can murder tons of people and be a super big badass when he's trying to save people he cares about.
No, yeah, I agree. I think when the shit starts to go down, Jim is somebody you can count on. And I think
he's not. Yes, he is absolutely not. Jim is the stupidest person because of what he does here.
I don't think so.
Not just yet.
He would never get back to the compound if there were no zombies to distract the soldiers.
Sure.
True.
My problem with his plan is what happens when he gets back to the compound.
And so what happens when he gets back to the compound is he sets Mailer free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
Jim did not plan to live through his plan. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Jim did not plan
to let anyone live through the plan.
I think so.
Could very possibly have killed Selena and Hannah.
I think the reason that happened is so that they could like show justice for Mailer. And I think you're right. It probably in hindsight was maybe not the best decision.
Horrible
although
plan.
It works out because of movie magic.
Right.
And I can let that kind of stuff go. I understand that it frustrated you because I do think you make a good point. Like because he's uncontrollable. So you've released an uncontrollable dangerous element into the situation. Yes. It works out for him, but it very easily he could have just climbed up on the fence and killed him immediately. And
I think he should have shot Mailer in the head and then
gone in and shot everybody else.
Yes. Yeah. Then he goes in and kills everybody else. And then I think the metaphor is better because it's him overcoming the horribleness that is just man and not zombies doing it for him and then them escaping.
Yeah.
But what? I don't really care. The movie's great.
Well,
Danny Boyle's a good
guy.
There's
like 10 people, though. You're going to need a little zombie help.
And that's true. And Mailer,
I get a little help from my zombies.
All I need is my Mailer.
I love it.
But I like that Mailer gets justice because I felt bad.
The only justice Mailer needs is to be put out of his misery.
That's
like
true.
That is what he needs and he doesn't ever get it.
So
that sort of bothered me a little bit too.
So then Selena and Hannah are sitting and they're wearing their fancy party dresses.
Yes,
and they're
just
waiting terrified for the gang rape that's about to happen.
They look lovely. But they are terrified because of the implication of what's about to happen.
It was explicitly stated.
Yeah,
well,
it was.
No, you're right.
And because of all the guns in the room, too.
Yes.
But Hannah's stoned because she's like, I'm starting to feel the effects of these pills. And she's talking to the soldier. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. This part was creepy, dude.
I know. She's talking to the soldier and she's like, "What? They're not back yet. They've been gone for a long time.
They're dead. I bet they're dead.
Just nonchalantly.
And you're all going to die,
yeah,
too.
You're probably all going to die, too. And then Mailer with his red eyes right behind them outside.
Fucking
the
jump scares, man.
So, you know, Chris, friend of the pod.
Chris from Trick or Treat and the thing.
He's got a 2-year-old daughter. I went over to their house the other day and his daughter was like, Mikey's all alone in the world.
What?
Yeah.
How did she know?
I don't know. I was like, everyone in the room just looked at her and looked at me and I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess.
You think Chris and Madeline were like, shit, she's repeating our conversations.
Chris and Madeline just goes, just like The Notebook.
Yeah. All right. So then Mailer breaks in and starts attacking everyone and turning them infected. And then Sergeant Asshole gets back and the cook soldier is running away from Mailer and he's hiding in the kitchen.
Yeah, he's hiding in like the...
Under the cupboard.
Yeah, under the cupboard.
Mm-hmm. And Mailer's looking around and one of the other guys... This is a lot of guys getting killed by Mailer or the people that Mailer infects and then becomes
Mailer
more infected.
Mailer runs rampant through the house and kills people. And I think this was his plan, was that they were all going to respond to him downstairs and he could go upstairs and get the girls and get out.
Right. It's dumb because you have one zombie chained up and then 10 soldiers, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you unchain the zombie, best case scenario is a soldier kills him and you have 10 soldiers to deal with. Worst case scenario is Mailer does what Mailer fucking does and turns all of them into much stronger, faster zombies.
Mm-hmm. So
but
now
they don't have guns.
I would be more afraid in a closed space like that of a zombie than I would be a guy with a gun.
I think he just wanted them to fight to just be lured downstairs, just like he did with the air raid siren.
Yeah. What we're saying is he got lucky that it worked out this way because it easily could have gone real bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the cook hears his other friend getting turned infected in the kitchen. And then the coast is clear, looks out the cabinet, being silent and creepy the whole time, and then trips on every pot in the kitchen and runs screaming down the hall, making as much noise as he can.
He runs right into
Cillian Murphy's knife.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hot. Cillian Murphy's naked again, guys.
That was a hot scene. That because he like stabs him.
Dude. Oh, he penetrates
just, like, gives him
super
the eye contact of like, you're a dick and you're dead. Bye.
But he doesn't actually, probably didn't mean to stab him. He just ran right into him.
No, I think he definitely meant to stab him. Because he does murder the rest of them.
That's true. Well, kind of. All right. So now the girls are in the bathroom and the infected are running after them. And Hannah is like holding on to one of these giant mirrors hiding. And this is a really tense scene because the infected is right up at the mirror looking at himself in the mirror, and he says, I'm a monster!
And then he walks out of the room, and then you see feet from behind the mirror where Hannah's there.
Yeah. And so she's okay.
You know, for someone who's super high, that's a really good plan.
It is. Yeah. And I think partly because she's just high enough that she can, like, she's not panicking.
Yeah.
You know?
She was just high enough that you couldn't see the feet.
Exactly. Just a little bit higher, and you would see her head.
Yeah. She was just high enough, Mikey.
Yeah. Hey, don't do drugs, kids. All right.
Or do drugs.
Counterpoint.
I mean, don't do drugs.
Right. Yeah, you should.
If you're going to do drugs, have fun.
So now Jim is upstairs looking for Hannah, and he goes into this room with creepy, haunted, evil dolls.
Yeah.
And he sees a soldier like hiding in the corner.
I'm out of bullets. Right, and then Jim is like, I don't give a shit. I'm going to go out the window. And he's like, don't leave me. And then the zombies get in and eat that soldier as Jim's getting out the window.
Exactly.
I love
like,
that.
Why should I try to help you? Yeah. You were going to kill me and probably rape my girlfriend. So Jim's running across the room in the rain. It's so dreamy. And Selena is with this asshole soldier. And he's dragging her in and like holding her right next to the window. And he's saying, I'm going to get a nice place and we're going to be like mommy and daddy or whatever. He's a dick.
He's a horrible guy.
Mm-hmm. And so while he's like kissing, assaulting her, Jim runs across and attacks him, starts beating his head against the wall and then gets him down on the ground and gouges his eyes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't even know if he's infected or not.
You don't.
Like, well, that's the point.
They intentionally shot him at the same camera speed that they shoot the infected so that you wouldn't be able to tell.
He's infected, all right.
He's infected with love, and it is the hottest eye gouge scene in all of cinema. So he's gouging his eyes out, and this guy is finally now dead. And Selena's like, holy shit, is he infected? And he just saved me. So she gets the machete. This is my favorite part of the movie, and she's about to attack him, and she runs up, and she's about to, and then she backs off, and he says, that was more than a heartbeat. Oh, and it's so dreamy.
That's
what
I fell in
love.
Love
it.
Yeah. It's very poetic, especially in a zombie movie to have that kind of touching moment.
This is my love scene, and I just love it
so
much.
This might be the best love story in horror.
I think so, you know? But so we see the door open while they're kissing. We don't know who it is.
And Hannah runs in with like a bottle of scotch or Lagavulin.
Maybe.
And she smashes him over the head, and he's like, stop, I'm not infected. And he goes, oh, I thought you were biting her face.
That was kissing her. And it's really sweet. And then he's like, is she stoned? it's a long story. And the family's back together.
Yeah, and then they start walking out of the house.
Nonchalant.
And then they run into the doctor.
They go to their taxi.
I would have picked up a gun on the way out.
Yeah, me too.
They walk past. He has several opportunities to pick up guns.
Yeah, they all should have picked up some guns.
They walk out of the taxi, open the door. The doctor is there and shoots Jim like immediately.
Yes. I know.
And then instead of like running away or whatever, Selena grabs Jim, sets him on the ground. Hannah gets in the taxi and then like backs up to where the zombies are. The zombies break through the back of the glass and rip him out.
To the mail depot zone. His mailer. Because it's mailer.
He breaks through
and grabs him and pulls him out and then gets his revenge by killing him, for sure.
Or turning him into a zombie. And then they load into the taxi, start driving off, and they're going towards the gate. And Hannah, with her supervision, which we haven't established yet, but she has supervision. She sees that the gate is locked, and they're just like, ram it. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm. And she buckles up. And then freeze frame.
I hate the freeze frame.
It's not a great freeze frame.
So the next thing we see after this freeze frame is just like real quick cuts of Selena in the hospital, like getting a syringe and like trying to save Jim and like saying, breathe, Jim, breathe. And then it says
28 days later. Yeah, it says the title of the movie.
They say the title of the movie.
Yay!
And it's 28 days later, and we see Dreamy Jim waking up in another bed.
Not fully naked this time, though, ladies.
But he's got a big bandage on his stomach.
Yeah, because he was shot in the stomach.
And he's okay. Yay. Selena is sewing, and Hannah is outside. And so we find out they're in this country house.
And their tax is outside. It's implied that they drove there.
Right, yeah.
By the coast, you're
right. And it's just a real sweet little English cottage. And so they're spreading this giant blanket out.
Yeah, they're spelling out help.
They're spelling out hello. because yeah.
At first it just says hell.
Hannah has heard the plane, and so they think the plane is coming, so they're running real quick to try to spread this word out.
It's just the O. They're out there with the O because Selena was sewing the O. So they open it up, they see the plane fly over, and they're like jumping up and down trying to wave their arms at the plane. And it sort of implies that the plane sees them because it sort of banks off for a second look.
Fun fact, what you hear voices in it, and it's Finnish. Somebody in Finnish is saying, we should get another plane or something like that.
I think it's a helicopter or something like that.
Yeah, something. Mm.
Yeah. Helicopter comes
and
in.
And so then Selena turns around and says, you think they saw us this time? And Cillian Murphy just looks up at the sky and blinks. And the last thing I wrote in my notes is he's just so beautiful. And that's the movie.
And that's the movie. So let's do final thoughts. So what do you guys think about it?
I love this movie.
I do too. I
don't really think I have much for final thoughts because it is sort of great. I thought it was good.
Holds up.
It does.
Yeah, it just holds up. It's really well made. It's so detailed and it has a lot of good messages and a lot of things to think about. And I really enjoyed rewatching it with y'all.
Yeah, I did too. I really loved it. And like I said, I avoided zombie movies lots of times. And I'm really, this one is just much more than a zombie movie. And I think the sign of a good zombie movie is you forget about the zombies at parts of it, you know, and you just start getting invested in the characters and the story. And I think this movie has a lot of really well-developed characters that you love. And it's just heartbreaking when bad things happen to them. And you're terrified at the thought of some of these things happening. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I probably, like I said before, wouldn't watch it again by myself. But if I was with a group of people and they wanted to watch it, I would totally watch it again.
But because you're scared, right? Not because you didn't like
it. No, it's a great movie. I think it's very, very good at what it does. But it's just scary. I like that they killed Mark. Let's do box office. So the budget for this movie was $8 million, which is not a lot.
No, it's not.
And it looks, we talked about this during the movie, Mikey, but it is sort of grainy, like early digital footage was. So if you can look past that, it looks great. A lot of the shot angles are great. It's just very, very well done. It's a well-made movie. But it made $45 million domestically and $37 million foreign. So it made a total of $82 million, almost $83 million. Like it made a shitload of money. Although, interestingly enough, it didn't do great ranking wise, even in its opening weekend. And its opening weekend, it got beat by Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle, Hulk, and Finding Nemo.
Well, I saw this movie. I made the right decision.
Finding Nemo is a great movie.
Listen, well, I think it's great too. Movie. 28 Days Later never got above fourth in the weekend listings, but still had a really good run. Like it did very well.
And it's become like a classic horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
And like canon in the zombie subgenre. Yeah, it's one of the biggest ones.
Let's do some Jen's fun facts.
Jen's fun facts. All right. So we were just talking about this. This was one of the first mainstream films shot entirely digitally.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. And it looks that way, which unfortunately means it's a little grainy, but it's, I think
it kind of works with,
I think it does,
the aesthetic and like the feel.
Yeah, I think it does.
So we talked a little bit about this before. This is known as one of the first movies to show fast zombies, but the actual first movie to have a fast zombie in it was 1985's Return of the Living Dead, directed by Dan O'Bannon.
Those aren't super fast.
Are they faster?
They're not lumbering slow zombies, I guess.
Yeah, we'll find out.
I haven't seen
them. Return of the Living Dead is one of my favorite zombies.
They don't have to be faster zombies. They just have to be faster than Night of the Living Dead zombies. All right, so there was a 2007 sequel called 28 Weeks Later. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I don't remember if
I haven't
seen
it clearly,
but compared to this.
We'll see.
Well, but the first one is amazing. There's also a graphic novel
called
28 Days Later, The Aftermath, and it expands the timeline and it gives a lot more information and details about this. So there's a 2009 comic book series and there are talks of a sequel 28 months later. Now, I don't know if plans are in development for this at all yet, but I know Danny Boyle is the one who wants to do it. I think the person who wrote, I just don't know how far in development it is.
Fair enough.
But yeah, it would be amazing if that could happen. But I couldn't find any confirmation that it had been greenlit.
Wait till 28 years later when Cillian Murphy's like, oh no, the zombies.
Still dreamy.
Somebody get my walker.
I'll get it for you.
Gross.
All right, sorry. All right.
I can't get it up anymore, Jen.
So there were three alternate endings to this movie, and we actually watched one of them at the end, and it was a real downer. Because
the one where Jim just dies.
Well, all of them have Jim dying.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, two of them were filmed, and one of them was just scripted on storyboard.
Yeah, one was just like a safe falling on his head.
So. And then he like turns into a cloud and like hovers above his body into heaven. Yeah, it was real sad. I'm really glad
he becomes Casper.
Yeah. That starts a new franchise. But I'm really I'm really happy that they changed it to having him survive.
I did too.
Yeah. Okay, so we talked about how this was filmed, the earlier scenes where they're walking through London and there's nobody there. And did you notice that those were all silent too?
There was
no, as much as music is a part of this, there wasn't any music in
the
scene.
Well, it really, like, really helps you feel like how alone he is. Yeah. Yeah, it's insane. Okay.
Right. So they filmed that on Westminster Bridge, Piccadilly Circus, Horse Guards Parade, and Oxford Street.
Yeah.
Todd, how many of those have you been to recently?
All of them.
Nice. So this was also influenced by the spread of mad cow disease and hand, foot, and mouth disease in London. And hand, foot, and mouth disease is terrible if you've ever had a kid that had that. Originally, Ewan McGregor was going to be Jim.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
That would be a good casting, too.
I love Cillian Murphy.
I love Cillian Murphy in this movie, too. I think he does a great job. I think Ewan McGregor would have done a good job, too.
I think so, too. So the backstory of why he was not Jim is because, he was going to be Jim because he had just done Train Spotting, which was also Danny Boyle and Ewan McGregor. And he was supposed to be the star of The Beach, which was his next movie. But they replaced him with Leonardo DiCaprio.
And it's a good call. Leo's great in that movie.
Oh, yeah, he is.
I love that movie.
But so Danny Boyle and Ewan McGregor had a falling out over that. So he was not in this movie. They talked to Ryan Gosling about being Jim, too, but he had a scheduling conflict.
Just like The Notebook.
Oh, my God.
Doing The Notebook at this time?
I don't know. When did The Notebook come out?
We got it. Somebody get Amy Adams.
I love that movie and Amy Adams. I don't really like romantic comedies, but that's a good one.
Yeah, you do.
But that one is really good.
That's amazing.
Anyways, I think Cillian Murphy
he did a much better job than Ryan Gosling's a great actor, but
he is. But
the casting for this was great.
It was. It was amazing. Yeah, there really isn't anybody in this movie that I don't think does a fantastic job.
No, they all sell it.
All right. So the last fun fact is a story. So I'm not exactly sure which pile of bodies this was about, but so there are several places where they're driving past piles of bodies.
Yeah.
And apparently one, they forgot to clean it up one day. And
what?
So a hairstylist was driving past. Saw it, lost her mind, and wrecked her car.
Oh,
and
my God.
Had to call the police, and I think everything was fine.
But she was okay.
She was okay.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I assume so.
Thank you for your fun
and
facts,
those are
Jen.
My fun facts.
Thank you so much, Jen. Let's do the scary scale.
Hey, listeners, our scary scale is a scale we use to rank how scared we were when we watched this movie today. It's not a ranking of the quality of the film. It's how scared we were today when we watched it. Our one example is Ghostbusters. Our 10 example is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. All right, Todd?
I'm going to give it a 4.
A 4, nice.
Yeah, because it was scary, although I'll say the jump scares that are in this movie are a little telegraphed because the camera moves before you actually see the jump scare normally, so that helped me a lot. There's only a few what I would call just straight up cold jump scares.
Right.
And those really got me. But it's not awful.
Right. And I think they're like well done jump scares.
I think so too.
You know, because they're always backed up
by
something terrifying. Yeah. All right, so 4.
4.
Okay, Mikey?
I think I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay.
You've seen it before, and you're just not as
well, the first time I saw it, it was very suspenseful. Like, leading up to the end, like, it just didn't stop. But now that I've seen it, I'm just like, okay.
I think if I saw this in a theater, it would have been higher for me, too.
Yeah,
I think so, too. I'm going to give it a 5, man. Whenever there are, like, these kinds of elements in movies, it's so disturbing for me.
Sure.
And I do think it's scary, you know?
It is.
The zombies are really fast, man.
Yeah. Cardio zombies are terrifying.
They are, yeah.
All right, guys. So this week you made me watch 28 Days Later. What are you making me watch next week?
I am so excited because we are going to the movies and we are going to watch Chapter 2.
Oh, my
shit,
God.
I've got to read so much.
Oh, my God.
I'm so excited. And I've heard it's really good, too.
I've heard the same. I've heard it's slow to start, but it's amazing. And I'm terrified because it was super scary. Gross.
All right, so that's our it's going to be a new release episode, everybody.
Yeah, so everyone get out there, see it. I'm sure you're going to anyway, but see it.
I'm so excited.
It being the movie it. So now Mikey is going to read a listener review. So if you want your reviews read, leave a 5-star review and we'll have Mikey read it. Also, leave a
accent
you want him to read it in. We don't have one with an accent, but let's do this one.
Okay, Gregory 757.
I think it's Gregory, but yeah.
757.
Gregory says, I am still relatively new to horror.
Yeah, me too.
I'm able to live through Todd as he experiences these movies. Ha ha. Look forward to every new episode. 5 stars.
No, thank you
very much, Gregory.
So
we appreciate it. Thank you so much for your very kind review. So we are a member of the Modern Horrors Podcast Network. So if you're listening to us in their feed, check out our feed because you'll get the show actually 2 days earlier on Monday instead of Wednesday.
Well, actually, you'll get the show 2 days early.
That's what I said.
Money bread.
but if you are listening to it in their feed, you're going to get the lovely Final Girls, yes. Death, Dying, and Other Things, and of course, the Tertitular Modern Horrors Podcast.
The Tertitular.
The Titular. Modern Horrors Podcast.
You cut that on someone that bleed to death.
If you want to follow us on socials, do so at Horror Virgin or follow us individually at Jen Ferratu, yeah. At MRandolph24, or if you want to follow me at Todd J. Awesome, pretty much on all the socials.
Yeah.
Guys, join the Facebook group.
Yes, dude.
What are you doing? The Facebook group is awesome.
It is.
We have a lot of exclusive Facebook content. We pretty much talk in there every day.
Yep.
It's great.
Question of the day every day.
Yep. And, you know, discussion forums about the episodes, all that stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's awesome.
And thanks for our mods for helping us out with that.
Yes, they are awesome.
You guys do the heavy lifting for that, and thank you so much. So, guys, also make sure you're checking out the website that has the blog that Jen writes. Yep. And maybe some point someone will write something that they promised forever ago.
Someone who has had a computer for weeks now.
And bragged about it openly.
I have a computer, okay?
Yeah, then write a blog, nerd. So, guys, if you want to check that out, go to horrorvirgin.com. You can also find a link to our merch store there.
Yeah.
And there's always sales. So if you look at it, it's full price. Wait 3 days, and there'll be a sale probably. Check it out. And, guys, if you can help support us financially, we're trying to get new mics. In fact, we priced out new mics.
We did.
And equipment. And it's going to be pretty expensive. So if you guys want to help us in that endeavor, please subscribe to us on Patreon at patreon.com/horrorvirgin. We've got a lot of great levels. We got some new stuff we're going to start rolling out here pretty soon.
We got a really fun idea that we're cooking around.
Yep.
Just waiting for us to get our shit together.
The proper execution of that. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. We need more pod lunches. So guys, check out the Patreon. If you can help. If you can't, please just continue doing what you're doing. And that's telling your friends and family about the podcast because we have continued to grow over this month and it's been amazing. Thank you guys so much for that.
Yes. Thank you so much, listeners.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
Absolutely.
For 28 days later.
I really enjoyed it.
I did too. I'm glad to hear you say that. Yeah,
I'm really glad you liked it.
Yeah.
This is the first movie that's actually scary. I think you've like actually liked.
Yeah, I'll say that. But I still would watch it by myself. But I can see it's a great movie.
There's scary movies I wouldn't watch by myself that I liked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they're scary.
Like anything with commitment.
like the notebook?
Just like the notebook.
All right. Thanks, guys. That's going to be it from us tonight. I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey. And I'll write you down in my notebook, Jen.
Aw, thanks, but don't kill me.
That sounds really weird.
I know.
And I'm your horror virgin, Todd, guys.
Thanks, have a great week. Ha.
She stole my thing.
That's
a weird power move.
That is an awesome power move, guys.
Yeah, fight the patriarchy.
Yeah, dude.
Nerds.
My
nerds.
If you're still here, you're the real MVP. You're a real fan.
Todd's cell phone number is